Blog Talk Radio.
Back, my friends, to where the music never ends. We're so glad for all your minds that we find, that we find. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Late Night Poets Rhythm and Rhyme Show. We are part of the world's largest community. That's allpoetry.com, and there you shall find us, the Late Night Poets. We put these radio shows on 7 nights a week, Monday through Sunday, 10 p.m. till midnight. Come hang with our wild of new you and nature and passion on Monday. Dig into the twisted thoughts of the Twisted Sisters on Twisted Tuesdays. Join us early Wednesday morning for Keeping It Brief, and then come back later that evening as we turn up the heat with the Art of Seduction. Thursdays, a split between In Our Craft of Song Art with Laurent and Double Helix with Aphasiana and Dan. Friday, Come Fill My Eyes with Open Poetry. And Saturday, a split with Gray Eyes and Dan Howling at the Moon in the Northern Wilds, bringing you bad company. And exploring Ekphrasia with Captain B2 and Gray. And if you're looking for a little more edgy realm, then check out our After Midnight shows, 12:30 to 2:30 a.m., Tuesday through Sunday mornings. Take a walk on the wild side Tuesday. Join Ekphrasiana and Babla on Thursday as they teach you to find art of becoming, part sinner, part saint. Break on through with Pam on Friday. And sit in with Dex and Pam as they bring you Once Upon a Time on Saturday. And then every other Sunday, sit in with Arcana and Luyu as they go delving deep within the darkness. Check out the contests and prompts for all of our shows. Call me to read your poems. Send us a SoundCloud if you can do that too. And hang for the fun. Good evening, Janine.
Hello, Rex. And how are you tonight?
Oh, I'm all right. What's that?
That was a heck of a kicker song. Let me just tell you, I'd never heard it before, but boy, was that my toes were a-tapping. There's not much new with me. You know, same old, same old. Just, you know, we have Pam on the line with us. Hello, Pam. Welcome aboard.
And good to be here. Hello, Jean. Hello, Rex.
Yeah,
hello,
so
hello.
Quite some intro song, I'll tell you.
That was catchy.
Yeah, it was catchy. I'd never ever heard of it before. But, you know, hey, that's, I guess that's the fun of it all. It's nice to be surprised once in a while. Yes, yes, yes. So, let me see now. Now, that is a carryover from last week, correct, Rex? From the Jimmy Buffett
show? Yes, we had one left, though. And then, yes, that was from that was from the Beach Boy. Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah, that's right, absolutely. Okay, so yes, we have one poem to go with that, and then we break into this week's show. And yeah, it all looks pretty good.
Yes.
I think it's going to be a heck of a good show. So yeah. So you just tell me when you're ready to get started, and I don't know if there's anything you want to talk about until after this is done.
Let's go ahead and take care of the last one, and then break into this one.
Okay, awesome, awesome. Okay, Pam, how about I ask you to read us our first piece for this? And this is called Rockin' Morning, Morning by Naomi Sarah.
I melt into the bar, the sparkling glass of bottles under green glitter stars, become the vibe, gliding as smoothly as the smoke that slithers and flies, soaking in the laughter and the barman's smile, dancing upon each octave, feeling totally alive. Step onto the stage upon which I press play and let my life go 5K HD. All the freaking way. Next morning, the aching in my skull ebbs and flows like a cold tide moaning. The blackest of clouds storming my brain in a war dance. No clearing until late afternoon. Not a slim meteorological chance. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. Jean, looks like Naomi got into that real good. How about you? What do you think?
You know, this is a great piece by Naomi. Lots of fun. I melt into the bar, the sparkling glass of bottles under green glitter stars, become the vibe, gliding as smoothly as the smoke that slithers and slides. She really led into this piece very well. I mean, it just, I don't know. I just like the way she set the stage and kind of ran into it. I shouldn't say ran into it, but kind of sauntered into it. You know, and then down here, the next morning, the aching in my skull ebbs and flows, like a cold tide moaning, the blackest of clouds storming my brain in a war dance, no clearing until late afternoon, not a slim meteorological chance. I think it was great, you know, what a way to describe a hangover. Yeah, that was a great piece. Yeah, great job, Naomi. Thanks for sharing. I really like that.
All right. Thank you, Jean. All right, Pam, you got to read it. What about you?
Oh, this was quite enjoyable. It did make me laugh out loud. I think many of us can find this very relatable, especially in our younger years, you know, going out, singing karaoke because all of a sudden after a few shots of tequila or whatever our poison is, we suddenly think we can sing. Step onto the stage upon which I press play and let my life go 5K HD all the freaking way. And the way she describes the hangover is so spot on. You know, the blackest of clouds storming my brain in a war dance, no clearing until late afternoon, not a slim meteorological chance. Yep, definitely clever lines on a night of drinking and karaoke and the mind-numbing hangover the next day. So very well done, Naomi.
Well, I can agree with that because she did get lit and she didn't think twice about getting up on that stage. But I'm looking at the back end of this, those last three stanzas, walk not in the notes of youth, but in the notes of age. Because when you're young, you can suck that stuff up and pretty much get up the next day and do it all over again. At when you get aged, that doesn't turn around very well anymore. You need that full day of recovery because your body can't tolerate the abuse anymore. So, nicely done, Naomi. And we're coming back to you, Gene.
Okay. Let me see. Okay, Rex, do you want to lead into the, tonight's show, or do you want me to do the intro first?
Yeah, go ahead. Let's get the intro song up so we let everybody know what we're doing.
Okay. Here we go.
Nah, it's funny. I thought somebody would pick up on that song, but nobody thought to write to it, so I decided we'd open with it.
Yep. And by the way, that was Money for Nothing by Dire Straits, just in case anybody was curious, because I never said it. Oh, my gosh. And Pam, I don't know. Have you tried out for the band lately? You had it all under control in the room.
Have I tried out for a Dire Straits?
Yeah. You should put in the application.
Well, you know, I tried, but they just said I wasn't, you know, I lean too much towards Rob Zombie and Metallica for their taste, so, you know.
That's kind of discriminatory, but okay. Sorry, Rex, I didn't mean to be crazy, but I had to. So tell us, what is our show tonight?
It's Jack Sonny, the other guitarist from Dire Straits. That was his best-known moniker. He was born in Indiana, Pennsylvania in 1954. He learned at an early age, first piano, then trumpet, before picking up the guitar at 14. His love of the instrument led him to leave the University of Connecticut, where he studied literature, to attend the Hartford Conservatory of Music. After graduation, he was introduced to Elliot Randall. He was the session guitarist that did the solo on Steely Dan's Reelin' in the Years. And he became a mentor and teacher and convinced Sonny to move to New York City to begin his career. He lived in New York from 76 through 85. He was trying to get in to be a sessionist, but it didn't work out for him. So in the late 70s, he formed his own band called the Leisure Class. They were a Monday night fixture at Kenny Castaways on Bleecker Street in Greenwich Village. There was a venue for up-and-coming acts. But in the meantime, he still needed to earn money for himself, so he started working at first Alex Music on 48th Street in Manhattan, then Rudy Music Stop, where he met first David, and then Mark Knopfler. And after Sonny visited them in London, Dave and Hal had already left the band. Sonny was asked to join the band for their up-and-coming 1984 Brothers in Arms album and the subsequent tour, which he said yes to. He also, after doing the tour, he also did the Live Aid concert at Wembley in 85. In the meantime, after that, he spent a couple of years helping out other musicians. And then in 88, with the birth of his twin daughters, he decided to get out of music and into a steadier job. He went into manufacturing. He was director of marketing for communications at Line 6, a manufacturer of technology products for musicians. He was instrumental in development and launch of Pod, which is some kind of amplifier for guitars. He also worked for a guitar center. And later on in life, he joined DSL again, because he got back into music again, I guess, with his daughters growing up. The DSL was Dire Straits' legacy. So, and he also had a podcast which he hosted called The Leisure Class with Jack Sonny.
Well, that's something
else. Yeah, not a whole lot in the music angle, but he hit the right time with Dire Straits for the Brothers in Arms album.
Right, absolutely. Okay. That is something else. Okay, so our next piece I'm going to play is called So Far Away. And let me hit the button. Oh, we have a call. Hello, area code 239. Who's calling, please?
Hi, this is Bill Schiller. Good evening, guys.
Hi, Bill.
Hey, Bill.
Hi.
Welcome aboard. You're just in time to hear us get everything started. This is So Far Away by Straits. Right.
I haven't heard that in a while.
Me neither. It's been ages. Okay, well, I'll tell you what. The poem that goes with that one is one by Jenny the Deep, and it's called A Fear-Filled Demise Rocks On. I'm going to try and give it a read. Yes, the word was try. A Fear-Filled Demise Rocks On by Jenny the Deep. Grabbed from behind, snatched from home, dragged further away, losing all hope. Over the mountains and through the woods, she endures the pain the best anyone could. Trapped, surrounded by venomous fires, blinded, bounded, bleeding from hot wires, deep dejection and despair in her soul reside, no empathy in his eyes as he causes her demise. Strumming on bones cleansed in embers, he looks for his next victim by the masses. Daughters never to be seen again, so it begins. Baptized in blood, his reign of terror begins again. Arm to arm, hand in hand, townspeople search. A land once safe and free now hurts. Two decomposing bodies found, only one survivor. With his capture, she rejoices in the Lord above her. Best therapy to help heal her tattered soul is shouting and drumming to rock and roll. End poem.
Great read, Jenny. Thank you very much. And Jenny actually dipped her fingers into a number of the songs. She went with 1, 2, 3, 5, 7, and 9 to draw out what she put to page, and also something on a movie called Dear Child on Netflix. I haven't seen that. Don't know anything about it. But anyway, Pam, why don't you kick us off?
All right. Well, this is certainly a fabulous dark ride. Truly terrifying and creepy in its reality. And it's a really interesting take on the prompt. Unexpected, I should say. You know, I guess because you listen to that song, you think of it as being romantic, but mixed with her other choice of prompt. And yeah, I could see it actually working. It's one of those things that you don't think about until after someone presents it in a different light, you know, instead of the idea of missing someone that you're romantically involved with, it becomes this idea of missing this kidnapped child. This is definitely a great write in the fact that it really did give me the heebie-jeebies, because it just is too realistic. And I don't mean that in a bad way, because, you know, when you write something this dark, you want to, you know, provide that emotional impact. Truly a horrifying dark ride. I did like how she kind of turned it around a bit at the end. Like, not, it didn't really, it was still dark, but it was about the healing process. Best therapy to help heal her tattered soul is shouting and drumming to rock and roll. And I have to agree that, you know, music is definitely an important part of the healing process. You know, I think any time, but especially from trauma, it can help you connect with something or somebody that understands. And I really felt like the part that really connected with the whole line from the song, So Far Away From Me, was the part where it says, strumming on bones, cleansed in embers, he looks for the victim by the masses, daughters never to be seen again, so it began. Baptized in blood, his reign of terror begins again. Horrifying lines, but just really well written. Very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Bill, how about you?
Yeah, there were a couple of things that jumped out. And of course, Jenny is always so great as a writer. I often will look for themes and someone's poetry. Is there something in the words that in itself, not the same kind of poem, but could be its own idea? And Jenny provides a really good one in the stanza that has baptized by blood. It's such a dark thought, but at the same time, if you think of baptism as being something in the form of salvation or faith, the idea that you could be bathed in blood and find salvation in it just blows my mind as an idea and concept. So I like finding these little Easter eggs. God forgive me for saying Easter egg with bathed in blood. I'm just saying that, those few words in themselves represent an incredible theme. And I really like how at the end she did turn it around. The idea that someone could find a channel for all this abuse through any form of art, whether it's poetry or music in this case, or, you know, painting, how healing and cathartic the ability to channel the pain of all that abuse into something productive and meaningful or beautiful. I love that idea. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Bill. And Jean, you got to read it all out here.
Yeah, I did. I was kind of taken back because I wasn't expecting that type of a write to go with that song. Like Pam said, you know, you just kind of think of something different that wasn't bad by any means. It just, I was kind of like, wow, wait a minute. And I'm not sure what all the prompts were, and if I pulled them together, maybe I could kind of like, oh, yeah. But I thought it was a well-done dark write, nicely rhymed and expressed. And I thought it was a clever take on the prompts, because there's more than one involved here. So I have to assume that she I'm going by what Pam said, because, you know, she's smart like that. That, you know, when you pull them all together, it works. And I believe that. I believe that truly, because it's a good piece. And thanks for sharing, Jenny.
Nice. Well, she went with Brothers in Arms, So Far Away, Money for Nothing,
gotcha.
Your Latest Trick, The Man's Too Strong, and Skate Away.
Go.
So she did hit on the note of something from each song to play out her voice. But this reminded me of a couple of serial killers. You think of the Green River Killer and Ted Bundy's first dip into this world back in the 70s out in the Pacific Northwest. So it runs along that line, especially when you hit the baptized in blood, his reign of terror begins again. There's that note of the satiation hasn't removed itself. It's just ripped him up to the next round, so to speak. And no empathy in his eyes, and he caused her demise. Again, that runs on the tale of a serial killer. And the thoughts of the torture. She runs into two traps surrounded by venomous fires, blinded, bounded, bleeding from hot wires. And then when things get noticed, all of a sudden you've got arm-to-arm, hand-in-hand, fast people search. A land once safe and free, now hurt. So she's hit on quite the tale of the mess and the chaos left behind from somebody on the loose like this. So nicely done, Jen. All right, Jane, we're back to you.
Well, our next song we're going to put up is Brothers in Arms. This is one of my favorites. Here we go.
Your valleys and your farms, and you'll no longer burn to be frozen on. Through these fields of destruction, baptisms of fire, I've witnessed your suffering as the battle raged high. And
Battle by Jesna Sajan.
And whenever you're ready.
All right. Armed for battle by Jesna Sajan. Age crippled my years. Living on the edge, noisy, tall buildings are not a match for me. I should move to the countryside to live in forests and trees. Graze the cows in the meadows, grow mulberry trees. The home where I never lived is the home for me and will always be. Somewhere in the lowlands, where gunshots will sleep, where people can laugh, stifle, and sleep in peace, in serenity. I've seen bloodshed and skulls, gnawing within mudslides, burnt in the name of danger, tower and border breaks to end all the noise and brutality, armed for battle in my youth, for my family, bloodshed of many families, I'm tired of the hatred between borders, the pain of my deed, brothers armed for battle to bring destruction in the name of security, breaking borders in the name of unity. Someday, I'll return to the lowland to see broken families smiling, living their lives, result of destruction by my deed, dead brothers armed for battle. I've lost a dear friend, gunshot from his chest. I saw the tears of anguish bleeding the eyes of his bed. Loved ones pleading for mercy and silent revenge, armed for battle. I don't know anyone here. All of them are new to me, welcome me, because I was armed for battle. But in my grieving heart, I bleed in silence for the bloodshed and anguish to my dead brothers armed for battle. There is no religion or caste or color or creed. It's only defect or defeat or victory repeat. In the spur of the moment, bloodshed and bones, I bleed in silence for the bloodshed and anguish by my dead brothers armed for battle in the name of war. End poem. All right, Gene, I'll kick it with you first.
Wow. Pretty deep piece. And I think what's so deep about it is the fact that it's really this way in many places, you know, where there's just war. And it's kind of commonplace, which is, I guess that's what makes it scariest of all to me. But I think this was really well written, and I think that, Jesna had really captured something in this piece. Armed for battle, armed for battle, armed for battle. I mean, it's just really, someday I'll return to the lowlands and see broken families smiling, living their lives, result of destruction by my dead brothers, armed for battle. I think that it's really, it packs a punch, I think. To me, it does. I guess because I don't really know the depth of it, where it actually, whether it's, it says, hate, death, family, friendship, hope, and love, you have to wonder, how much of this is from truly touching base with it. So, wonderful job, Desna, and nicely written, and a good take on that prompt. Much enjoyed. Thank you.
Nice. Thank you, Gene. Bill, how about you?
Yeah, thank you. I have to say, whoever's idea it was to play the brothers' song prior to this one was genius, because the history of that song ties in so perfectly with this writing. That Brothers in Arms, Knopfler wrote it at the time of the Falklands War, when the Britain was fighting Argentina over some islands off their coast, and there was a discrepancy about who those islands belonged to. So it was Mark Knopfler's father, said that in terms of ideology, the British and the Argentinians were brothers in arms. And that's why Knopfler wrote this song. It was all based on that war, brief battle more than a war. But what's really cool is down in the fifth stanza, where Desna writes, "Someday I'll return to the lowland city, broken families smiling, living their lives, result of destruction by my dead brothers, these brothers armed for battle." The idea of returning. Back in 2007, Mark Knopfler re-released that Brothers in Arms movie. And with the money they made from the single, he paid for the veterans to go back to the Falklands with hope that they would find healing from the post-traumatic stress disorder they had come to after the battle. Which, so again, this is a great poem, and it's tied to the Brothers in Arms song is just perfect. I love it.
Thank you, Bill. Pam, how about you?
Oh, this is a brilliant response to the chosen prompt. You know, it's powerful imagery and metaphors, an excellent write on the effects of war on the mind of a soldier. I was noticing that her, one of her responses to somebody who had complimented her poem was wanted to pen it for a long time, finally made it possible. And I thought, how cool is that, Rex, that a prompt you put up, you know, allowed Jesna, gave her the opportunity to write about a subject that she's been wanting to write about for a long time. That is really cool. And, you know, the storytelling in this, and I, you know, it's storytelling, but at the same time it isn't, because it's raw reality. I mean, she takes us through these different steps. Like, it's, first of all, you see that this is an aging soldier who still has those memories of war and wants to find that sense of peace that he's not finding in the big city. And maybe, maybe he'll find it in the country. But then you see how his mind is bombarded with these images of his youth, bloodshed of many families. I'm tired of the hatred between borders, the pain of my dead brothers, armed for battle to bring destruction in the name of security, breaking borders in the name of unity. I mean, you know, it just, and it hits you really hard, because you can imagine, you know, well, for some people it's not imagining, but, you know, for those of us who haven't been through it, just what it's like to have to fight and unfortunately shed blood and just want to walk away from it all, but knowing that it's always going to haunt you. And so just really an amazing write and very well done.
Amen.
Thank you very much. Yeah, this is about a singularity. And it does paint the, quite the picture, because when you're inside, so to speak, you're not really fighting for a country or whatever. You fight for those on your left side and your right side, because those are your brothers in arms, so to speak. Those are the ones that have your back and you have their back. And that's where a lot of the pain and anguish in this comes from. I've seen the bloodshed and skulls, gnawing within bloodshed, mudslides, burnt in the name of danger, power, and border breaks to end all the noise and brutality, armed for battle. And then that one, I lost a dear friend, gunshots on his chest. I saw the tears of anguish bleeding the eyes of his best loved ones, pleading for mercy and silent revenge, armed for battle. There's a whole lot in here that comes through the mentality before, during, and after, and the market leads years later down the line, even though he's looking for that peace and quiet in that first stanza, and the city's noise is driving him to distraction, but he still doesn't know what that peace and serenity actually means to him as it speaks, because he's still got all these memories rolling through his mind. So, well done, Jez. Thank you very much.
Amen.
All right, Jimmy, we're coming up. Back to you.
Well, next piece I'm going to play is called Walk of Life. So here goes.
can believe dedication, devotion, and turning all the nighttime into the day. And after all the violence and double talk, it's just a song and all the trouble and the strife. You do the walk, yeah, you do the walk of life. You do the walk of life.
Good one. Now, Bill, I'm going to ask you to read this next one for us. It's called Detour to Hell by Jaskaran.
I'm pulling it up right now.
Get up.
Okay, again, this is Jaskaran's poem, Detour to Hell. Addiction is an adaptation. It's not you. It's the cage you live in. It's 2 a.m., heading to the bar to grab a beer, scribbling eulogy on an autumn leaf, scribbling eulogy on an autumn leaf. As it is no longer green, let me repeat that, scribbling eulogy on an autumn leaf as it is no longer green, the ink gently kissing the earth, drinking myself into amnesia to forget someone who left. I leap to drink from the whip of a waterfall as wind, tugging back the bows and the bows, and I slip into a stiff mane, zonked out for hours. I really butchered the reading on that. Eulogy got me. That's my bad. I'm so sorry, Jaskaran. I just apologize for my bad reading.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Pam, do you want to try it?
Yeah, I can. That's fine. Absolutely.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Bill.
No problem. Detour to Hell by Jaskaran. Addiction is an adaption. It's not you. It's the cage you live in. It's 2 a.m. heading to the bar to grab a beer, scribbling eulogy on an autumn leaf as it is no longer green. The ink gently kissing the earth, losing myself into amnesia to forget someone who left. I leap to drink from the whip of a waterfall as wind tugging back the bows, and I slip into a stiff mane, zonked out for hours. I am too drowned in a glass of champagne to feel effervescence of off the depths of flesh, trying to squeeze me out of this puddle. My dreams are filled with denial, the word cheers always ringing in my head, the reflection of love in glass and veins red and oceans blue give me quiet life. Why not paint people's dry lives in autumn, brushes leaf by leaf, promising new life amidst the dreams of death, and send your tear enamored smile around the world like a blanket of stars covering their darkest night skies. Live life, take pictures, relive moments, repeat, send home.
Well, thank you, Pam. Nice read. Jean, let's start with you.
I think this is a great piece by Jaskaran. It was very different from what I'm used to seeing from him, but I think it was well done. It's 2 a.m. and heading to the bar to grab a beer, scribbling eulogy in an autumn leaf.
as it is no longer green, the ink gently kissing the earth, drinking myself into amnesia to forget someone who left. That to me, that was so different from what I'm used to seeing. And then when he got down into, where is it? I leaped to drink from the whip of a waterfall as wind tugging back to the house, and I slip into a stiff mane, zonked out for hours. We got into a little bit more of a nature or natural setting, and I kind of came back to, you know, Jazz Grand's writing, and he didn't cease to amaze me. Well, not amaze me, but where he pulled in the autumn brushes leaf by leaf at the end, and I think he did a nice job combining both the nature aspects of this and, you know, his little 2 a.m. I don't know what's the word I want. Outing, that's a good word. But it was nice, as always. So nice work, and thank you for sharing with us, Jess Corrin.
Thank you, Jean. And Bill, what do you think?
This poem really resonates with me, and something I don't normally share in large crowds. I grew up hard and fast and drank way too much, and I've been sober now for a little over 10 years. But before I got there, you know, this first line where it says addiction is an adaptation. It's not you. It's the cage you lived in. And I'm one of those people that lived in a cage for too many years, a lot of whiskey and drunken behavior. And the third stanza where it says, I leap to drink from the whip of a waterfall. That's a really powerful line. If you think about a waterfall being this powerful force that's just plummeting to the ground. And from that force, there's this one extension in the form of a whip that is where Jaskrin says writing from, or that she needs to drink from. I think that's a really cool sort of metaphor. And then at the stands next to somewhere in the middle, it says my dreams are filled with denial. And I know that's so true from people who've dealt with alcoholism or other addictions, the constant denial that, oh, I can do this on my own. I don't need help. I'm going to go out tonight, and I'm just going to have one beer, and that's it. And of course, it always gets worse. So this line and all of the poem really, really resonates with me. And, that's what it represents for me. Really cool. And a good reminder for me and others as well.
Thank you, Bill. And Pam, how about you?
Oh, I thought this was a wonderful write. It really had a strong emotional impact, amazing imagery and metaphors. I like how it speaks so straightforward in its way about drowning one's sorrows within those gulps of alcohol. Some parts that especially stood out to me was, I am too drowned in a glass of champagne to feel effervescence off the depths of flesh trying to squeeze me out of this puddle. You know, first of all, I thought about the fact that when it comes to like champagnes, wines, and some of those really fruity flavored drinks, we really almost tend to forget that they are alcohol and have the same effect until it's too late. And trying to squeeze me out of this puddle, I felt like was a great metaphor for not only the drinking itself, but also perhaps the tears that come with the depression. Another part I really liked was, why not paint people's dry lives in autumn brushes leaf by leaf, promising new life amidst the dreams of death? You know, it made me think of how, like, they talk about the dry alcoholics, the people who they don't drink a drop because they know they can't. and leaf by leaf and promises of new life amidst the dreams of death, that whole idea that you take it just one step at a time, you take it one brush stroke at a time, one leaf at a time, because you know every day is going to be that challenge, and as you get by each day, you can claim it as another victory. So just an amazing write by Jas Grahn, and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Jean, you're right. I knew when I saw that opening line, addiction is an adaptation, it's not you, it's the cage you live in, that this is going to be something different. This is very, very different from what we usually get from Jas Grahn. And I saw this as a three-parter. The first, it's 2 a.m. down to I slip into stiff mane, zonked out for hours. Again, that great note of being zombie-like in the moment is the first part. That's the reality living in. The second part, I am too drowned in a glass of champagne and getting down to in veins, red and ocean blue, getting quiet life. That's the realization, the waking up and understanding you've got a problem. And then the back end, why not paint people dry lives, down to live life, take pictures, relive moments, repeat, is that mantra of reminding oneself you were drowning. You came to an understanding, and this is almost that sort of living, understanding, and waking up all in the same piece. And it's written on that line of thought, because you hit scribbling eulogy on an autumn leaf, and then comes down to paint people's dry lives in autumn leaves, autumn brushes leaf by leaf. Again, that note to autumn, paint the color back in instead of drowning it out. A reminder. You don't have to have the paint up here to write necessarily. You can draw from that, but it's better on the back end when you've got something and you've still got the pain, but you don't have the drunken bites at ink that you would on the other end. So it's easier on the back end than it is on the front end.
Yeah.
Nicely done, Jas Grahn. Thank you.
I like that. Okay, and the next poem I have is by Becky Friend, and it's called The Key of Life. I have an audio for that.
The Key of Life by Becky Friend, inspired by the song Walk of Life by Dire Straits. Some people say life is like a garden, but begging their pardon, they confuse it. I say life is like music, a blend of sounds and rhythms, of accents and marching drums, memories with timelines that rhyme, and a shared backbeat of tapping feet, medleys of expelled breaths, births and deaths, fishing tales, blue collars and black lapels, stormy spells with sunsets so bright they light up the night, a swim in the ocean, his woman's devotion, chords in the key of love or in the key of trouble and strife, walking through life note by note as man becomes the song and the song becomes the man. End poem.
Great read, Becky. Thank you for the sound cloud. I very much appreciate it. And Bill, why don't we start with you, please?
Well, I'll tell you what I especially respect in this is I feel if someone is going to say that something is this or something is that, please back it up with the rationale for why it is this or that. And that's what she did when she said that life isn't like a garden, it's more like a song. And then she goes on in every stanza that follows to explain the truth of that with clear examples. And through that, there are these references that, like where it says blue collars and black lapels, as if to say that, you know, this music isn't for just one class. It's for all. And that it represents so much: the thunder, the storms of life, storm and spells, the sun sets bright. And also in terms of romanticism with the ocean and a woman's devotion. I just love the way she connects music. Life is a music, a song. And that, you know, at the end, the song becomes the man. Very cool, Becky. Really like this.
Excellent thought there, Bill. Thank you. Pam, how about you?
This is a wonderful write on the whole thought of music being such an important part of love and of life as we go through these trials. And we come to learn about who we are. And I like her comparison, how music, I say life is like music, and medleys of expelled breath, births and deaths, fishing tails, blue collars and black lapels, stormy spells of sunsets so bright they light up the night. You know, that kind of makes me think of that meme that says something along the lines of, you know, I wish my life had background, a soundtrack, so I'd know exactly what was going on or exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. And this makes me think of that whole idea of having that track to your life, having those songs that are really such an important part of your life. Like, what music were you listening to when you had your first child? What music did you and your spouse or the person you're in a relationship with first dance to together? You know, what brought you together? And what was the music of your youth that helped shape you into the person you are today? You know, this is just such a wonderful and thoughtful write on all those topics, and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Jean, how about you? You got to unmute.
Yeah, I do. Oh, and we have another caller. I think we might have Naomi on the line, so let me see. Hello, 111. Is that you, Naomi?
Yeah, it's me. Hello.
Hi, everybody.
Oh, come on.
I was writing. I just finished a write for one of the songs because I love Dire Straits.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of a fast write, but probably full of typos.
We won't tell. But yeah, do you want to comment on this piece, Naomi, or did you not hear?
Yeah, I did. I'm sorry, I didn't hear it at all. I just got on. I'll read it back because I just love Becky, and you know, her writes are always amazing. So I'm gonna go back and read it.
Right, I thought it was a wonderfully penned piece. You know, she says, "I say life is like music, a blend of sounds and rhythms, of accents and marching drums, memories with timelines and rhyme, and a shared backbeat of tapping feet." And then I love this, the way she ended this, walking through life note by note, as man becomes the song and the song becomes the man. I thought that was a wonderful way to wrap that piece up completely. So I thought she did a great job, and thank you for the share, Becky. Really nice work.
Great comments, everybody. Damn, I've got nothing more to add. Everybody took up all my lines. Becky, that was a well-done piece that sparked a lot of voices, and you did it well. So thank you very much. All right, Jean, we're back to you.
Okie doke. Well, let me see now. The next song I'm going to put on is Sultans of Swing. So let me hit that button. Thank you.
shiver in the dark. It's raining in the park. Meantime, south of the river, you stop and you hold everything. A band is blowing Dixie, double fall time. You feel alright when you hear the music ring. Well, now you step inside, but you don't see too many faces. Coming in out of the rain, they hear the jazz go down. Competition in other places. But the horns, they blowing that sound. Way on down south. Way on down south. London town. You check out Guitar George. He knows all the chords. Mighty strictly rhythm, he doesn't wanna make it cry or sing. This band and old guitar is all he can afford. When he gets up under the light, play his thing. And Harry doesn't mind if he doesn't make the scene. He's got a Friday night with the Sultan.
Yes, yes, sweet. Thanks for saying that, because I was on mute. Yes, yes, this is called Sultans of Shadows by Stellina. So here we go. And we hit the button. Yeah, a lot of button pushing. I'm
It was the background of her poem. Person. I went, wait a minute, let me look. Oh my God. Here we go.
Where shadows sway in midnight blue tones, on smoky swirling haze dances a sultry sax note. The night crying out with the horn's mellow moans, which pierce hearts as through the ether they float. Ghosts of the past blowing Dixie to lonely souls, dreams were reflected in the bottom of a glass, fragments of hot jazz like embers of burning coals. They were ragtime royalty of a dying class. Lovers lulled by rhythm and blues, with charismatic crooning sweet to the ear. Then, hip to the beat, they kicked off their shoes, succumbing to the charged atmosphere. Now only echoes linger of music so sublime, from faded phantoms, the sultans of swing, their heyday, a musically permissive time, when improvisation was the hip thing.
Great read, Selena. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It's very much appreciated. And Naomi, let's start with you, please.
Oh, my gracious. This is wonderful. You know, I think she, Selena really caught the whole mood of the song and the times back then, you know, when she says, where was it? Ghost of the past blowing Dixie to lonely souls. Dreams were reflected in the bottom of a glass, fragments of hot jazz like embers of burning coals. They were ragtime royalty of a dying class. And then, you know, then she ends with, you know, their heyday, a musically permissive time when improvisation was the hip thing. And it's so true, you know. Oh, my gracious. This song. Love this song. Wonderful write by Selena. Wow, she did the song justice for sure. Amazing, amazing poem.
Thank you, Naomi. Pam, how about you?
Oh, this is amazing. Wonderful read and write, as always. A beautiful performance. I really thought this had a brilliant flow of imagery and was an excellent write on the way jazz and blues speaks to body, mind, and heart, allowing for freedom of movement. I also like how this speaks about being a time period of not only musical rebellion, but sexual rebellion as well. And I think that comes through, especially in the last two stanzas, and I particularly liked Lovers Lull by Rhythm and Blues with charismatic crooning sweet to the ear, then hip to the beat, they kicked off their shoes, succumbing to the charged atmosphere. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Bill, how about you?
Yeah, I'm so glad someone chose to do something with inspired by the Sultan of Swing song. I don't know if most people realize, if it wasn't for that song, Dire Straits might not have ever risen to the popularity they had. This is the first, one of the first songs that they were able to get to BBC Radio, which then led to them getting their first recording contract. But Selena, with this poem, does what she does so well is make a reader leave the page and the words, but deliver them somewhere else. And I think atmosphere is the best word I could use. And the atmosphere that she delivers us to, it almost feels for me like New Orleans being in a jazz club. And this could be a tribute to jazz music as much as it is inspired by the Dire Straits song. Selena, what an amazing writer you are.
Thank you, Bill. Jean, how about you? Press that button.
Damn button. Anyway, I have to agree with everybody else. I think this is a wonderful piece. And Selena never seems to miss the mark when it comes to her writing. You know, she has so much that she puts into it. It's always full-bodied and, you know, well done. And their audios are always excellent. But I thought this was nicely done. I thought it was a great take on the prompt. Lots of well-written lines all the way through. I kind of picked up on the last two stanzas, you know, lovers lulled by rhythm and blues with charismatic crooning sweet to the ear, then hip to the beat, they kicked off their shoes, succumbing to the charged atmosphere. Now only echoes linger of music so sublime, faded phantoms and sultans of swing, their heyday, a musically permissive time when improvisation was the hip thing. I thought it was a great audio and a nice share. So thank you, Selena. Great job.
Hi. Thank you, everybody. This kind of hit me with the thought of Chicago in the 30s when jazz and the blues would just get mixed in and everybody was swinging for the sounds they were hearing. And then it rolled right into the 40s and the big band and swing era rolled in. So everything started getting a little bit more in-depth and intense, those noted thoughts to solos, whether it's a sax, a trumpet, or a clarinet. Everything's just starting to hit a little bit more media vein for everybody. So as you hit from that note for Flo and Dixie, Rhythm and Blues, a horn's mellow moans, plus the sax, the top salty sax. She has quite a few years with it and the growth of music itself, but does roll it with the Sultans of Shadows. That was a nice touch. Thank you, Selena. All right, Jean, we're back to you.
Okie dokie. This is, next piece is going to be for One World. So let me make sure I hit the right button. Here we go.
Sanity and never fade as fast. That's the way.
I have to agree. Now, Rex, I'm going to come to you for this one. This is called Anecdotal by Period Dark. Whenever you're ready.
All righty. Anecdotal by a Myriad Dark. On the way to somewhere else, can't make no sense of who's who. Music has turned to voices in the dark. Now I don't know what to do. Guess we didn't think it through. Couldn't see the reasoning behind those things you were aiming for. Your motives kept raising questions, filling me with your desperation. There's no easy answer, win or lose. It's anecdotal, no matter what you choose. Some say it's vanity that motivates us and influences how we move and act. It's in our DNA, and no matter what we do, we have no control, and that's the truth. We are slaves to our emotions. That's a fact. So they tell us. So they sell us. We can't pick or choose. It's all in the blues. Can't find answers on the streaming channels. They only water down the fake news. The social platforms are on the clock. CNN, Fox News are facing off against TikTok. There is no antidote to this pandemic. The rest, as they say, is academic. We no longer can pick and choose. We're stuck here with the blues, these brave new world blues. End poem. All right, Gene, why don't we start with you?
I knew you were coming here. I think this is a great write for Maria Dark. I really did. I'm trying to figure out where I want to go. Some say it's vanity that motivates us. It influences how we move and act. It's in our DNA, and no matter what we do, we have no control, and that's the truth. We are slaves to our emotions. That's a fact. So tell us. So they sell us. We can't pick or choose. It's all in the blues. You know, there's some great points made here throughout. I think he kind of ran the right lines with the song itself. You know, I saw that he had the lyrics, you know, underneath, and I thought, you know, he really held true to that. And, yeah. So, Myriad, I think you did a great job with this, and I think you really hit the right notes with it, right itself. And an excellent share. So thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Jean. Ma'am, how about you?
Good. I swear, it sounds like somebody has semi-trucks driving by their house.
Really?
Yeah. And it's not me, but I swear, I sounded like a semi-truck going by. Or maybe I'm just hallucinating. Who knows? I really liked this. It had great rhyme and flow, hard-hitting lines. It really spoke well to me on the marketed lies that bring the snake oil blues. And I like how it also speaks to me on the idea that no matter what you choose, no matter what you believe, you know, no matter what you say, there's going to always be people who are going to question your motives. Couldn't see the reasoning behind those things you were aiming for. Your motives kept rising questions, filling me with your desperation. There's no easy answer, win or lose. It's anecdotal, no matter what you choose. And some say it's vanity that motivates us is a great line, because I think that it's so true of the human race. Too oftentimes we're all about what's in it for me. How does it make me look? You know, and so excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Bill, how about you?
Yeah, this is quite the social commentary for me. And when, you know, the title of Anecdote is so appropriate, if you think about how that represents some recall of that becomes a trivial story or remembrance, as if for all that's happened and what we've become, where we've been, it's just reduced to this kind of quirky memory and story. And I see that theme running throughout here in a really cool way. And then the third stanza, it starts by saying, some say it's vanity that motivates us. And that thought and line seems to come right from the lyrics of One World, and all of this ties into the song because it's saying, you know, no longer can we pick and choose. We're stuck here with the blues, the brave new world blues. For all we've been and all we came from, here we are now, and we can't pick and choose it anymore. This is it. This is the world. I love this poem. Maybe not what it represents naturally, but I really appreciate the commentary.
Nice. Thank you, Bill. Naomi, how about you?
Oh, I think this is brilliant. You know, the way he used the lyrics to twist it into something that's relatable to us today. This made me think of this commentary that was on TikTok not long ago between these mothers, and there was before school started, and they were asking, you know, should I buy my son this pair of a brand sneakers that were $400, and you know, for a teenager. And you know, some mothers were saying, well, yeah, or he'll be laughed at, you know, if he doesn't have the, you know, these sneakers are really like the thing here, you know. My gracious. And I was going, oh my gracious, you know, $400 for a pair of sneakers that are going to not fit in you know, in a couple of months because their feet grow. I says, you know, it's crazy, but that's it. You know, they use our emotions, these brands and this publicity and even the news and everything. Just, you know, they use our emotions to get across so many things so that we don't choose, or, you know, like you said, we don't pick or choose anymore. You know, everything seems to be decided because they play with our emotions so much. Well, whether it be, you know, commentaries on TikTok or on the news or just publicity, you know, selling their stuff, you know, these publicities that use that tie into our emotions, you know, so much. It's like we're in a world now that's just crazy. So very well done. Awesome, awesome, right?
Great commentary, but I guess I only got one thing to note. I'm going to, the title, Anecdotal, I'm going to break that down to where it comes to anecdote, which hits on the idea of the whole thing's nothing but a joke. Plus one other thing, Jim Morrison, probably almost 60 years ago, hit on the idea, those who control the media controls the masses. And that's exactly what Marianne has gotten in here. The fact that we bent the idea to movies, TV, and everything else that comes along with it, and movies, TV, and everything else that came along with it has bent us. So, nicely done, Marianne. Thank you very much. All right, Jane. We're back to you.
Okay. The next song I'm going to put up is called Your Latest Trick. So here we go. Well, maybe now we'll go. Thank you.
prehistoric garbage trucks have the city to themselves. Echoes and roars, dinosaurs, they all doing a monster mash. Most of the taxis, most of the whores are only taking calls for cash. I don't know how it happened, it all took place so quick, but all I can do is hand it to you and your little trick. Back and laugh, but it was only my heart that got it broken. You must have had a pass key made out of wax. You played robbery with insolence, and I played the blues in 12 bars down a lover's lane. And you never did have the intelligence to use that 12 key hanging off of my chain. It all took place so quick, but all I can do is hand it to you and you leave it to rest. Callers been here and gone. The landlord, he finally paid us off. The satin tabs made us put away their horns. And we're standing outside of this wonderland, looking so bereaved and so bereft. Like a Bowery bomb when he finally understands the bottle's empty and there's nothing left. I don't know how it happened. It was faster than the eye could blink, but all I can do is hand it to you and your latest trick.
I'm going to pass on commenting from here forward because I have four poems I'd like to get read. And this one here I'm going to try and read. This one here is called Spill Into the Night by Blue Harrison. So, to You stare into my eyes, skin to skin where we lie, panting, pulse back to normal rhythms. This dance to a song we both refuse to name leaves me dazed while you play another card, claim the pile. I never knew I was all in. No, I never called you. Out, I spill into the night because I can't breathe within twisted sheets. So easy for you to climb out of. The cat calls stoke me, while the neon signs feed my lurking lost girl. An addendum, one that numbs from the hip, from the lips on down to each limb. I should have taken only what you offered and bet you even. I pressed my tongue to the corner of my poker face, smile and let you fold, leave the table. Instead, I gave you a wink and a pile at the center, scooped it all in quick, you did, making me feel like a winner till I was lost at the bottom of the bottle, over and over again. End poem.
Great reading. Thank you very much. Naomi, what do you think?
This is very, really well done. But you know, Blue Harrison, of course, you know, she has this way of writing, oh my gracious. Out, I spill into the night because I can't breathe within the cheeks. So easy for you to climb out of. You know, a girl stuck in that game of love, win or lose. Like stuck in the trickery of a man here, and she says it well. Press my tongue to the corner of my poker face, smile, and let you fold, leave the table. And you know, she could be the trickster too, from what I'm getting to the end of this, and. Making me feel like a winner till I was lost at the bottom of a bottle over and over again. So, you know, they're both playing the game, but I guess she kind of loses in the win in the end, I guess. So, made right here on the you know, to the prompt. So, well done, Blue Harrison. Bravo.
Thank you, Naomi. Pam?
Oh, this is brilliant. Amazing imagery and metaphors. Really an excellent write on playing the game of love and losing. And I like how it speaks in such a raw way about that, you know, taking that booty call over and over again, hoping to fill this emptiness within yourself. I like the part that Naomi quoted, but I also really like where it says, out, I spill into the night because I can't breathe within twisted sheets. So for easy for you to climb out of. Amazing, right, and very well done.
Thank you, Dan. And Bill, how about you?
Well, one of the things that immediately stands out is how Blue, the writer, has sort of given us this box of colors and let us choose how we want to paint the people represented in this poem. It never refers to a sexual identity in terms of gender. There is no he or she. And though my immediate thought is he and she, in today's world that it could be anything. And it's not spelled out in this poem, which forces us to, come up with our own ideas about who these people are. But for me, it's not really so much about love. What I'm picturing is, and this is coming from a guy's perspective, of that moment after the big act when you're laying next to someone and you're thinking, oh, my God, what have I gotten into? Am I here? Is this what's happening? And trying to reconcile with where he's at and in terms of, you know, the connectivity to this person. And you get the sense that they're not on the same page when in the fourth stanza where he says, you know, I can't breathe within these twisted sheets. the sheets that are so easy for you to climb out of, you know, as if to say, you know, in the, after the heat of this moment we just had, I need time to collect myself. I can't breathe. But you're able to wrap yourself out of the sheet so easy. And that's, so I get a kind of resentment and intimacy through this, but it's kind of cleverly disguised. But that's one of those great poems that makes you think and reflect on it a little while before you come up with some answers as what is going on. And I get it. I love it.
Thank you, Bill.
Good going, Lou.
The what?
I just said good going, Blue.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I get you saying the thought up top with the way she wrote this out. There was that third stanza, the two lines that kind of struck me. I never knew I was all in. A straight answer, straight note up right there. And then, no, I never called you out. Out, I spill into the night because I can't breathe within twisted cheeks. So easy for you to climb out of. Then that next one, the cat call stoked me while the neon signs feed my lurking lost girl. That notation right there goes right back to the song where you're hitting on the idea of the whores on the streets. So she can't stand the fact that she's getting treated this way as if she is just one of those working girls on the streets. And then she's chiding herself. I should have taken only what you offered and bet you even. Pressed my tongue to the corner of my poker face smile and let you fold, leave the table. Instead, I gave you a wink and the pile at the center. In other words, everything in the mumps went all in as a bet, not realizing. And at the end of the day, she's the one walking out because it's not in the cards. She's just a singular one-night stand at that moment. And the making me feel like he gives her that sort of making her feel like a winner until she hits the bottle. And then the reality hit, and she's back again and again to that bottle. So nice, Blue. That was cool. Thank you. All right, Gene, we're back up to you.
Okay, now the next piece for that song is by Naomi, and it is called The Girl Behind the Bar and Her Bag of Tricks. So, Naomi, whenever you're ready.
Okay, so this was written really fast while you guys were doing the show. The Girl Behind the Bar and Her Bag of Tricks. She is a unique, bewitching creature, the mermaid of alcoholics. We talk to her like a friend. She's a goddess in the night to whom we say everything we don't say. She listens to you. She doesn't judge. She will tell you little bits and pieces of her life, her loves, her wants, her hopes, as if you were the only one. And when she kisses you on the cheek, you are her lover without a rendezvous. Oh, yes, she's like happiness in a bottle. Always more tender than the day before, with her little looks, illusions, smirks, and little flirts. Always so slow and easy, it's like she's serving out little love sips to only you. A truly unique princess, the lighthouse of alcoholics, the most discreet in drunkenness, a soulmate in distress. And when the night finally ends, we feel sad as the taxi driver arrives. Then she finally locks the bar door, and yet her perfume remains in the palm of my hand like a piece of my life. Tonight, I would like to have a wife, a mistress, a best friend, like the girl behind the bar. End poem.
Great read, Naomi. Thank you very much. And Bill, let's start with you, please.
Well, in the first stanza, there was a line that grabbed me. Let me just pull this back up again. the reference to a mermaid of the alcoholics. And that's kind of interesting when you think of people that are drowning and, you know, the mermaid coming up as they're floating. Mermaids, you know, are actually very cruel. So the idea of someone representing themselves as a mermaid in that environment is really refreshing and clever. And but also you see something misleading about that mermaid, who talks like a friend and is a goddess in the night, but something that isn't real, that's just maybe an apparition, like a mermaid, something that people think they saw only to find out it wasn't real, it was something else. And yet, to whom we say everything, we don't say that this is a person that is easily to confide to, and because of their power to listen without judging. And there's this sort of tragic nature to this person, because she'll share bits and pieces of her life as if you were the only one to ever hear that. And as I read this, knowing that the other works I've read from Naomi, and just listening to interactions between her and you all in these programs, I'm fascinated by her ability to get into the head of someone else that seems so opposite of her, to get herself in the head of another and represent what is going on in the head of this person who is not her. I think that's genius. Thank you, Naomi.
Thank you, Bill.
Nice, Bill. Pam, how about you?
Oh, I really like this. It's especially clever considering you put it together so quickly. I really like how you touch on the idea that the person behind the bar, the bartender, is the one that understands everyone's problems, you know, that everyone feels like they're there personally for them, so they're easy to fall in love with. And I really like this all the way through, but especially when you say always so slow and easy, it's like she's serving out little love sips to only you. And when the night finally ends, we feel sad as the taxi driver arrives. Then she finally locks the bar door, and yet her perfume remains in the palm of my hand like a piece of my life. And yes, it's just really clever in how it speaks on, you know, that whole idea of the, you know, like the Cheers theme song, how everybody knows your name. And very cool and very well done.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pam. All right, Naomi, I'm going to go along with Bill on that thought with the mermaid of alcoholics. There is something a little devious in that. And even though you hit on that note, some those little things, the smirks, the flirts, and the little voicings of what she likes and all that stuff, most of that is just play. You've got to have a certain gift of gab bartending, which includes knowing when to listen and when to speak. And you only give up tidbits of information. You don't give out hard truths. Why? Because that is your job. You're there to please the customer, so to speak. So you become that willing figure, taking what's being unloaded in the moment. And what you hit on the bottom end of this is, tonight I would like to have a wife and mistress, a best friend, like the girl behind the bar. That's just an illusion, a sort of perfect notation that does not exist and can't exist, because it doesn't work that way. The bartenders are there to make money, and they can't make money if they're dour faced, if they don't talk to you, if they don't listen to you, That's not how it works. It's all a little game of sorts.
Mm-hmm. I was a waitress for many, many years, and it was all about getting the tips. I got a lot of phone numbers, too, but, you know, I like better the tips.
All right. Great show, everybody. Thank you, Gene, Pam, Naomi, and Bill for coming on board. I'll do part two next week. I think we've got six leftovers to roll through, so we'll do those next week. And thank you all for coming on board.
Night.
Thank
good night.
You.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody.
Night, everybody.